Open the ears of our heart, Holy One, that as your word is proclaimed, we may have the wisdom and the courage to hear what you are saying to us this day. Amen. As we continue our exploration, trying to uncover and discover what is required of Jesus' disciples, we can get one clue from the prophet Micah. He was a prophet in the 8th century BC, a prophet of what we call the Old Testament or the Hebrew Scriptures. And Jesus would have known these scriptures well. You remember in some parts of the New Testament, it refers to Jesus taking the scrolls of the scripture, and these things were all written on parchment scrolls and rolled up, and they were read at worship on a regular basis. Well, Micah has very well-known and very powerful short saying. He said simply, "What does the Lord require of you? Seek justice, walk through life with humility, open your heart to others, show mercy to everyone who asks for it, and bring a peaceful presence to everything you do." You see, God doesn't require, thankfully, that we're perfect. But God does require that our lives are marked by our sincere efforts to follow these three principles: seek justice, walk through life with humility, and be kind to others. The gospel writer we know that we read today, Matthew, also writes about an alternative lifestyle that's required of Jesus' disciples. And you'll start to notice that this is a repetitive theme when it comes to discipleship. And scripture that was read this morning points to that. In God's realm, the merciful, not the powerful, shall receive mercy. In God's realm, the poor in spirit will know the kingdom of heaven, not the religious scholars or the wealthy patrons. The meek, not the mighty, will inherit the earth. The peacemakers will be called children of God, not foolish dreamers. What are we to make of this very ancient teaching in our time here today? Well, if you're like me, you will likely be aware of someone that you know whose life is shaken and fragile and maybe even falling apart. Poverty, persecution, oppression, victimization swirl around these painful individual stories, and nothing about them would seem to be a blessing. In no way do they seem fortunate or blessed. So, although these words from Micah are poetic and evocative, is there any way we can understand some wisdom in these teachings from so long ago? We call these the Beatitudes. Do they speak to our present day context? Can they actually make a difference in our life here today? Yes. Yes, I believe they can, if we understand these as hopeful messages of promise. Hopeful messages of promise. In these familiar words from Scripture, we hear of the importance of justice and kindness, humility, compassion, simplicity, and respect for creation. And these are familiar values for us, of course. They're foundational for our community of faith. And throughout our life journey, Stories from the Bible remind us of our calling to serve, to love others as God has loved us. Acting for justice and yearning for God are shown to be deeply connected. They are doorways to hope and to the fullness of life. All these stories that you know so well, stories of Jesus, stories of Mary, Abraham, and Moses, these stories all help to form our faith. They give us a sense of belonging, and they strengthen our life of discipleship today. In Matthew's community in the late first century, there was great tension and debate between the many Jewish parties and factions of the day. And it stemmed around what course of action, what would be faithful action, given the circumstances that they lived in a country occupied by a foreign power, Rome. How were they supposed to relate to these occupiers? How could they preserve their unique and distinct identity as people of God? And how could they remember and pass on their story? These are very important questions. Matthew points to Jesus as key to this. He sees Jesus as the new Moses. And of course, Moses was a very central figure for the Jewish faith. Matthew's Jesus was the great new leader of the Jewish people. And this new leader says to his disciples that the kingdom of God, which is a full-blown reordering of reality, one that's in sharp contrast with the present circumstances, the kingdom of God, said Jesus over and over, is close by, or in the language of the King James, it's at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. Because of this reality, the Beatitudes, interrelated and taken together, invite the disciples into an alternative way of being in the world, a way that leads to living with simplicity, hopefulness, and compassion, because the kingdom of God is at hand, close by. This is how you should live. Now, although these were written so long ago, in the first century, and in a very different context, a country far away, occupied by Rome, with a different culture, I still think and suggest to you this morning that these teachings hold important truths for us in the 21st century as we try to live lives of faithful discipleship. In fact, they just might be what is needed to be in the world, but not totally shaped by it. If we believe that God chooses to be on the side of the weak, the forgotten, the poor, the despised, then maybe we can see the way forward differently. Now, in ancient times, just to be clear, just as it is in our day, these values that Jesus was proposing were completely opposite and opposed to the prevailing culture, where might was right and power and money talked. Those who succeeded and succeed today are well connected or powerful. Those are the ones that everybody thinks are blessed. And yet, so important to note that the witness of faith has always said differently, always sung a different tune. The Beatitudes are promises, promises that in God's future, those who mourn for what humanity has failed to learn over the centuries, Those who long to see compassionate and just relationships between neighbors and between all people, those are the people who will be blessed and made to feel satisfied in the coming age. Now, the gospel writers, including Matthew, understood there were two ages. There's the present age, and there's the age to come, i.e., God's kingdom. And the tradition of our faith has always taught us that Jesus' return will signal and usher in the beginning of a new age. And as we wait, just as they did, for this defining moment, the beginning of a new age, as we wait, we must decide and choose where we will stand, thus putting our faith into action. This need to choose where we stand is an important part of our faith development, and it depends very much on us knowing who we are and whose we are. Now, scripture has always told us, named us, beloved children of God. We are made in God's image, we read, and each one of us is called, chosen, and equipped for our particular unique ministry, knowing that our neighbor, all our neighbors, share our humanity. We are the hands and feet of Christ. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. This is our identity. We are blessed so that we can be a blessing to others, those who are poor, those who mourn. We are needed. We're needed in the work for justice within unjust systems. We're needed to mirror God, whose very nature is love. Even though current regimes sweep aside those who have been broken and rejected by the powers of this age, Jesus declares them blessed of God because a new reality is coming into being. Jesus is not asking us to become poor in spirit or persecuted for righteousness' sake. These sayings, the Beatitudes, are not entrance requirements for disciples. Instead, when he speaks these words, Jesus is offering consolation to all who find themselves poor in spirit, mourning, or persecuted. And at the same time, as he speaks to those people, he's showing the first century disciples who were listening, and us today who are listening, Jesus is showing us a radical, new, and hopeful vision. I think we could use something like that right now. Put another way, those within the present age who are in difficult circumstances will be blessed when God brings about the new creation. Not because of their own achievement or because of their status, but because our God chooses and has always chosen to be on the side of the weak, the forgotten, the despised, the justice seekers, the peacemakers, and all who are persecuted because of their beliefs. Until the day comes, the Beatitude stands as a daring act of protest against the current order. The Beatitudes speak of protest. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't help thinking, as I have been all week, of the heartbreaking violence, destruction, and pain that we see every day on the TV news pictures, the pain in Israel and Gaza, as conflict glows and life seems impossible. I look at those pictures of families rushing away from bombed habitation with their little four-year-old in their arm, holding on to whatever they can. And I just, how can anyone live in a context like that? I cannot imagine. However, as I prepared for this Sunday, the scripture, the Beatitudes in Matthew, reminds me that as disciples, we are called to be an alternative community right now, this week, while we're hearing all that stuff. We are called to be an alternative community right now, looking to the light of the future reign of God. We must place our trust in God's promises. We must follow and imitate Jesus. And we must work together to build God's commonwealth of love and justice, even in the midst of chaos, even if it puts our lives at risk or makes us uncomfortable. As I said last Sunday, discipleship is always costly. There are real consequences for anyone who confronts the powers and principalities of this age. On the other hand, and important to remember, discipleship is never and has never been a matter of acting or being alone. No. The tradition of our faith assures us that we are part of and always connected to a vast cloud of witnesses. All the saints and all the Christians of good faith who have gone before us. We're surrounded today by faithful people, friends, and also strangers. And God's Holy Spirit is always with us, always saying to us, "You are blessed and beloved. I will not leave you or fail you. Fear not." So, what more could we ask for this journey? We are truly marching in the light of God. So let us go forward together, seeking justice in whatever way we can, loving kindness, and walking in humility with our God. Amen. May it be so.